Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat and Three is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat and Three.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah, and my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. HRN is food radio supported by you. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
This episode of Cutting the Curd is brought to you by Comté Cheese Association. Comté, an iconic cheese from the Jura Mountains of France, favored by cheesemongers and cheese lovers all over the world. Find out more at comté-usa.com. That's comté-usa.com.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Cutting the Curd. This is Jessica Kesselman, and I am so excited to be joined by the Dean of Cheese State University. If you haven't seen or heard about Cheese State University yet, you are in for a real treat when you log on to their website after listening to this podcast. I feel like a college counselor in high school right now. But the great thing about Cheese State University is that it is from the dairy farmers of Wisconsin. We are joined by Molly Brown, who is the education director for the dairy farmers of Wisconsin. And Molly's been a guest on Cutting the Curd before. She came on to talk about the whole Victory Cheese Project, which was so wonderful during the pandemic. She's got a long career in cheese, and we are really happy that you're here to join us today, Molly, and to give us a tour of Cheese State University.
I am so excited to be here. This project has been really fun to work on, and I'm just thrilled to share it with the industry.
So I love the whole concept of it being a school, a university environment, especially because Wisconsin, I know for me in New York, Wisconsin's always been like a big state school kind of place, right?
Yes, like totally.
I've had several relatives who went to University of Wisconsin-Madison. That aside, do you want to tell us a little bit about what Cheese State University is and who's your target audience? Who's it for?
Yeah, absolutely. So Cheese State University is a professional training and education program. We really geared this for early career cheesemongers, people who are really working with cheese on the counter day in and day out, who may not have access to great training resources. However, we knew that there's sort of a need throughout the industry, and we were optimistic that the programming would be interesting to people who are further along in their careers, so mid-career mongers or, you know, people who are, like me, kind of old fogies here in the industry at this point. We've had a really good reception for that. So our intended audience really is retail mongers, people working with cheese on a cheese counter. However, we're seeing people apply from sort of all segments of the industry. So a lot of people who work in distribution, people who work for producers, even some small cheesemakers. So it's been really fun to see the student body grow and really see who this is appealing to.
I feel like our whole industry, you know, a unique thing about it is we are all constantly looking for new opportunities to learn and to develop and grow our knowledge, even if it's an opportunity that might seem like, you know, like we're above it, like, oh, we're past that.
But I'm telling you, I could sit in a cheese 101 over and over and over again and still learn something new. So I think it's really great. Like when you describe the target audiences, well, you know, we have this group in mind, but it does also acknowledge the fact that no matter how long you've been in this industry, there is something about cheese people we are always looking to, even if it's just a little bit of a new perspective on something we feel like we already know, like we really look forward to having that opportunity.
Yeah, I think that really hits it. I think that a lot of us who have been in the industry for a little bit longer too didn't necessarily have access to great training resources. And I think we've all sort of pieced our educations together from a wide range of sources. And so I think there's always, like you said, something to be learned in different people's teaching strategies and in their approaches to teaching and sharing the information. And so I think there is like a very deep interest in that and in learning throughout the industry. So
I do want to take a minute to talk about some things that Cheese State University is not, as before we get deeper into what it is. So one of the things is it's not necessarily all about Wisconsin.
Right? That's true.
This is not a Wisconsin cheese-based curriculum, but there is the connection to the dairy farmers of Wisconsin. So can you backtrack for us a little bit and tell us who the dairy farmers of Wisconsin are and how did they become involved in this?
Yeah, absolutely. So Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin used to be called the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board, which more succinctly described the work that my organization does. And we are a checkoff marketing organization. So we were formed in 1984 through a vote of dairy farmers themselves to create, essentially a marketing a marketing fund to promote dairy consumption in the United States. So we are we may be the largest. I'm not sure. I'd have to, California Milk Advisory Board is probably the other big one when it comes to dairy checkoff programs. But because so much milk is produced here in Wisconsin, we're obviously one of the bigger checkoff organizations for dairy. And we are really, you know, the thing that sets us apart from CMAB in California is that in Wisconsin, 90% of our fluid milk is turned into cheese, and 90% of that cheese is sold outside of our state's borders.
I read that. I saw that in Cheese State University. I learned that.
You know, we're full of good information. So we're sort of like an ad hoc cheese marketing organization, which is really cool. So that's something that I think sets us apart from other dairy checkoff organizations. We do promotion of fluid milk and of butter and of ice cream and, you know, other dairy-based products. But cheese is really the core of the work that we do. So that's the, you know, reason I'm really excited to work for these guys. And just really proud of the work that this organization is doing.
So how did you get buy-in to doing something that wasn't necessarily about promoting Wisconsin, full stop, that it was actually about the larger concept?
It's a good question. So I actually was hired to, they had the vision. Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin has dabbled in education previously. We had a program that some, you know, cheese long haulers here may remember called the Cheese Cyclopedia, which at its time, I'm sure, was very cutting edge and had just, you know, grown dated over time. And we used to do a big focus on food service environment, like food service targets, our food service audience. And we, you know, have sort of as an organization switched strategies to focus more on retail. And so the previous education resources that have been created were just sort of losing relevancy. So they were looking for somebody, they were hiring to fill a position for somebody who would create specifically a retail focused training and education program. I don't know that they exactly had Cheese State University in mind. And I didn't necessarily either when I was hired, but this is what, you know, sort of came out of that. And I will say that, you know, they have been an amazing sponsor of this program and an amazing, shown a great willingness to explore the entire world of cheese through this lens. And of course, you know, we tell Wisconsin stories in Cheese State University, and when we have the opportunity to talk about a Wisconsin cheese, we take it. So I wouldn't say that it's, you know, not
a Wisconsin cheese training program, but we do go outside of the state to really look at the whole world of cheese in context, right? Because that's really what it's about. And that's what helps put Wisconsin cheese in context too, is looking at the broader world. So it really wasn't, you know, there was no like hard sell here. They have been, you know, like I said, just amazingly supportive and like eager to go on the journey. And I think they're really excited to work with a retail audience and work with cheesemongers. And I think they sort of, you know, see cheesemongers as like the tip of the spear, leading the, you know, sort of grassroots marketing efforts of the cheese world and, you know, really being the advocate for specialty and artisan cheeses amongst, you know, these really high value customers that they're working with. So, yeah, I would say there's been a natural affinity between the organization and our audience and really wanting to bring this program to life.
And this is definitely a great thing to have in your toolbox if you're planning on taking the CCP exam. Like, it's another great resource for information, but this is not necessarily something that was designed in conjunction with taking the CCP, correct?
That is correct. Yeah. I think that we definitely recognize that people are looking for CCP training resources and that there's not a lot available, like widely available in the market if you are preparing for the exam. And we certainly wanted this to be a resource that people could look to, but we didn't necessarily sit down with a body of knowledge and like draw parallels between. I will say, you know, I'm a CCP myself, and I have done training for the CCP exam in different roles throughout my career. So I would say that this is probably organically assembled as a training resource for the CCP, maybe more than I would give it credit for, mm-hmm. more than I want to publicly acknowledge. Because I do have, you know, familiarity with the body of knowledge and with the way the exam is structured, but we didn't really want to be like beholden to, you know, having to uphold the curriculum in light of exam changes and things like that. So we haven't really like made an official bridge to the CCP exam, although we acknowledge that people would likely benefit from using it.
Yeah. You know, going back to something you said earlier, that this really is about, you know, cheesemonger education, especially in those instances where people may not have other resources for professional development. I'm thinking about new cheesemongers who are new to new businesses, because mm-hmm. what's been really interesting, despite all of the challenges we saw in the last few years in the retail market, we still saw quite a number and continue to see quite a number of independent cheese shops opening. And yep. some of them are in locations that don't necessarily have other cheese shops they can go and visit and conspire with and trade information with in person. Or maybe they're, you know, I can think of two shops off the bat that opened or stayed open because customers wanted to make sure those shops didn't close. And so they ended up purchasing the shops from the previous owners to keep them alive. And they weren't necessarily purchased by people who knew a lot about cheese. They may have been good business savvy people, but the content and the context of selling cheese was something they really needed to find a way to, you know, catch up on. And so I think this is a really great book. Like the writing in the courses is really approachable. I can hear the voices of some of the people that like I can, you know, that I enjoy listening to in the industry. Like I feel like there's a great voice to the content. Can you tell us a little bit about the content and like how Cheese University is organized?
Yeah, absolutely. So thinking through this, I thought like, you know, basically I set out to like create the program that I wish existed when I was a brand new cheesemonger, you know, like uh-huh. all the things I wish somebody had been able to say like on day one, you know, like here, take, you know, take 30 to 60 days and like read through this thoughtfully and take this test and prove that you know some things at the end. So I really, you know, we started at the very beginning, the very first. The field guide is our core curriculum within Cheese State University. So there's a lot of like ancillary content and fun stuff that you can find on our website, but really the structure of Cheese State University is all based on the Cheese State University field guide. And that is a 3-volume resource. It's all digital online. And it is organized into these 3 volumes that then have, you know, chapters within them. So the very first chapter of volume one, chapter one is like the prehistoric, you know, or historic origins of cheese and cheese making. And we go back to that, like, you know, first story that any cheesemonger, every cheesemonger probably has heard on their first day in the cheese counter is that, you know, cheese was invented when, you know, an ancient shepherd rode his camel across the desert and he had his, you know, hydrating, you know, animal skin bladder, like full of milk. And when he got there, you know, to his destination, his milk had turned to cheese from the action of, you know, the heat of the desert and the agitation of riding, you know, on this bumpy camel ride. And then the residual enzymes found in this, you know, animal, you know, supposedly, I guess the canteen was made of an animal intestine. Right. So the residual enzymes and so had like created cheese and that's how cheese was, you know, invented slash discovered. I think, you know, raise your hand in the audience if you've heard that story before. So yes. You start
or
right there.
Or if you've told that story, right?
Right, if you told it exactly.
I told totally. It in a cheese class the other day. And then but.
And it's not like that far off, you know? I mean, it's that story is, it is just like a really like creatively packaged, you know, nuance of the truth. Right. So, of course we learned more through, Dr. Paul Kinstedt's research, that he presented in Cheese and Culture, kind of shone a new light on some of those historical origins of cheese, and timeframes. So we really, you know, we started at the very beginning. It's like your first day at a cheese shop and you heard that story. And it's also like, you know, the inception point of cheese in history. So it's very, you know, it's kind of meta. It's like, you know, the first day on 2 levels. So we really start there. And then we talk about, you know, cheese through, you know, as it sort of like grew through history, like when Rennet became, you know, came on the scene in cheese making and what that allowed for. And then we talk about a little bit of, you know, we go into the cheese and culture story, like why did, you know, certain cheeses emerge in certain parts of the world and how, you know, those styles of cheese production are really tied to culture and really tied to sort of the human history of that place. And so we talk about that a little bit. And then, you know, we go into sort of dairy farming, milk production, milk chemistry, cheese making and affinage. And that sort of makes up the first volume. And then, you know, it's that, so you sort of have all, this is like a lot of foundational knowledge that, you know, do you really need to know all of it, you know, to sell cheese on a cheese counter? No, but are you going to find it interesting? And again, is it going to help you place cheese in context, which you do need to know how to do on a cheese counter? Yes. You know, so this is what we sort of consider like the foundational elements of, you know, a well-rounded cheese education. And then we move into volume 2, which covers, you know, some of the more like tactical things that you have to deal with as a cheesemonger. So how do you define cheese? How do you categorize cheese? Like, and of course, how cheeses are categorized and defined and described based on their sensory attributes are all closely related to what happens in the vat. So we, you know, help make those connections. We talk about how to identify, you know, attributes and defects. We talk about how to do baseline sensory analysis to, you know, to determine flavor profiles and, you know, what be able to recommend a melting cheese, stuff like that. And then we talk, of course, about like pairing and putting cheeses together, building cheese boards, and all that kind of stuff. So we really look at volume 2 as sort of, you know, cheese identification, sensory, like sort of that whole ball of wax. And then volume 3 is, three shorter chapters on sort of retail best practices. So, you know, putting all of this information to use. This is where we cover off on, you know, food safety, receiving practices, merchandising, building sampling stations, building displays, cross merchandising, how to give good customer service, and stuff like that. So, you know, that's where we kind of bring it all together and make it really practical, I think, for people to use this education.
Well, I'm going to take this as an opportunity to pause for a break and get a word from our sponsor in here. And then we're going to come back and keep talking with the Dean of Cheese State University, Molly Brown, in just a minute.
This episode of Cutting the Curd is brought to you by Conte Cheese Association. Conte Cheese Association represents the Conte PDO, Conte Protected Designation of Origin, in the USA. Conte is a raw milk cooked pressed cheese from the Jura Mountains of France. There, every day, 2,500 family farms deliver milk to over 150 local cheesemaking facilities, or fruitiers. This milk must be transformed into Conte within 24 hours of milking to preserve the lactic microflora in the milk, ensuring the cheese's aromatic potential. About 105 gallons of milk are required to craft a single wheel of Conte. Conte takes time to acquire its flavors in the affinage cellars. After 8 months of aging by dedicated affineur on average, each wheel of Conte is graded and shipped to market. No wheel of Conte is the same. Its flavors speak to the pastures where the cows grazed, the season in which it was made, the particular craftsmanship of the cheesemaker, and the time spent in the aging cellar. Therefore, every wheel of Conte is unique. Learn more about Conte, an iconic cheese from the Jura Mountains of France, favored by cheesemongers and cheese lovers all over the world. Find out more at conte-usa.com. That's conte-usa.com.
And we're back, Cutting the Curd with Jessica Kesselman, that's me, and my guest today, Molly Brown, who, among many things, is the one of the creators and is the dean. Is that the title that you prefer when it comes to Cheese State University? Are you the dean?
Begrudgingly, yes, I am the dean of mongers at Cheese State University. Like, just put that on the list of things I never thought would be on my resume, but aren't on my resume.
Well, you do have quite a resume, and I feel like a lot of your background is kind of feeding into Cheese State University. What do you feel is some of the experiences you've had that have been helpful to creating this tool?
That's a great question. So I think one of the difficulties in creating this resource was striking a balance between something that could be used by our existing retail partners who tend to be, you know, larger scale national and regional retailers. So people who have, you know, probably a really strong training program on, you know, like how to clean the slicer and, you know, store SOPs and, you know, probably have a lot really dialed in on that end, but like can't really train, don't necessarily have the, you know, context or capacity to train the difference between like a $6 a pound commodity, you know, dairy wall cheddar versus a $40 a pound, you know, cave aged cloth bound cheddar. So we wanted to create something that would be usable by people on that side of the industry to, again, sort of, you know, help develop mongers on their counters. You know, cheese is a really interesting space in a big grocery store. Like it's what we've learned at Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin through research is that shoppers sort of instantly form their perception of a store's quality based on what they see in the specialty department. And that's really powerful. So, yeah. You know,
no
and
pressure,
people,
no pressure, yeah,
none at all. Right. But you might want to clean it up over there. Yeah. And you know, specialty cheese takes like a lot of extra information to sell. Like nobody, you know, and customers just, you know, quite frankly, have a different expectation in the specialty department than they do pretty much anywhere else in the store. I mean, of course, maybe at the meat counter, or if there's a, you know, a seafood counter, you know, people want to be able to have a conversation there about about, you know, where does this meat come from, or where, you know, what should I, how should I cook this? So we, you know, we know that people in the specialty shop, you know, specialty shoppers tend to want to have those conversations there too. But like, you go, you know, you, there's no like cereal mongers, you know, like nobody's like in aisle four, like wanting to know what's in the Kix, you know? So there is a different expectation there. And that's, I think, where some of the bigger retail chains don't, you know, their programs can be a little bit lacking. So we wanted to create something that would be usable by those folks, but we also wanted to create something that would be usable by smaller independent cheese shops, because, you know, to your point earlier, like these are often people who maybe don't have a background in cheese, but are passionate about it and are passionate about local economies and small businesses, and, you know, are starting a cheese shop for that reason. But, you know, those cheese shop owners are like, I mean, those are the unsung heroes, right? Like they're the ones who do everything. And, you know, so then to also be like, and, you know, find a way to train your staff on this like really complex and historic and like dynamic thing that like maybe you don't even fully understand yourself, you know? So we wanted to create something that would like play to both audiences. And so that's where I think my past experience has come in really handy. So I started on, you know, as a cheesemonger on a small counter at an independent shop and worked there for 3 years. And so sort of had that framework to go off of. But then as I moved into various sales and marketing roles, you know, I worked for Jasper Hill for a few years. And I, in that role, I, you know, I think I set foot in like half of the Whole Foods in the country, you know, in a 3 year period. So got really familiar with their operations, the way that their stores function and how their training programs operate. And then, you know, I worked for Vermont Creamery, where I interacted with a lot of regional grocers and national accounts like Kroger. And really got sort of an inner glimpse into how those folks operate as well. And so I think I was really able to bring together kind of both perspectives and like find a way to meet both needs through this resource. So that's how I think my experience has played into it.
I love so many things that you said made me think of other things. And my mind is just racing. But I really love that a lot of what you described, the product of it comes from listening, and like what you were saying about visiting all these different kinds of accounts, seeing what they do, how they do it, and listening to people who sell cheese, you know, that's the most important thing. And just like in sales, that is so important, is just the listening. And then you're able to meet the needs of the people that you're trying to serve or to sell to. And so that tracks with the content and also the presentation of Cheese State University. I was just thinking also about the section I read about receiving cheese. And I never really had to do that, but reading about a responsibility you may not have in your current role is always going to help you, right? I mean,
yeah. So, definitely.
yeah. And so, so you're right, like this kind of multifaceted, like 360 view of cheese history. It seems really inclusive. So bravo to that. I did want to ask you about some other parts of Cheese State University that brought in some other voices. Finding Your Way, W-H-E-Y.
Oh, yeah.
can you tell us a little bit about that part?
Yeah. So, so if it's okay, I'll back up and just talk a little bit more about like the ancillary content that I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
That's available through the website. So we have the whole website is set up like a virtual campus. For those who haven't visited yet. So we have the classrooms building, and that's where you'll find the field guide and any future courses that we may add, which we reserve the right to do, but no promises quite yet.
Right.
and then we have a library building. And in the library, you'll find two really amazing resources. One is the Wisconsin Cheese Atlas, and that's essentially a very nice collection of like beautiful one pagers of different Wisconsin cheeses. So I think we're up to about 60 in there right now.
Wow.
And we have, you know, like the background of the cheese and then like all the information. It's basically like what, you know, all the information you would need to like write a cheese card for your counter, for your case in one spot. Cause I remember as a monger, like having to like, you know, read 18 different websites,
yes, that said,
conflicting things. So we went like straight to the source for these. We got all the information. We included some sensory details, pairing recommendations, stuff like that. So that's a fun resource. Another resource that's you'll find in the library building is called, I'm very proud of this one, the Turo Files, Counter Coaching for Cheesemongers. And this is a video series where we tackle sort of like these thornier questions that you can get on the cheese counter, like what is rennet and like why is this cheese so expensive and can pregnant people even eat cheese? So we dive into these, you know, topics where you need a little bit of sensitivity and understanding and context to be able to answer them really credibly and in a way that's not going to turn off your customer. So we just put those up a few weeks ago and we're really excited about those. So then you can pop over to the Quad, which is our social networking and kind of engagement app. And so that's a really fun and dynamic aspect of Cheese State University. You can only sign into the app if you're enrolled in the university. And there's just some great conversations happening over there. We post a little bit of content, but this is very user driven. And it's just great to see mongers and other cheese professionals from all around the country and from various aspects of the supply chain, you know, coming together and having these conversations. It's also where we host all of our virtual events. So some really fun stuff happening over there. So then we come up to our student union, who it is named for, you know, the late, great Pat Pelosky, who is a contributor to the Cheese State University Field Guide and really helped kind of share this vision of this project in the very early days. So if you visit the Pat Pelosky Student Union, you'll find some really great content over there. This is essentially functioning like a blog right now. So that is where our Finding Your Way series lives. And the Finding Your Way series specifically is really just intended to provide like inspiration for what careers in cheese can look like. I think when you're working in retail and, you know, especially if you're starting out as a monger, it can be a little hard to parse like where could I go with this? And, you know, what could I do? And what do other people do in cheese professionally as a career? So we really just wanted to give some insights into the work that people are doing in different parts of the industry. And we've had some really interesting interviews so far. We've interviewed Emily Harbison, who works for Dairy Connection here in Wisconsin. There's sort of a supply house and, you know, a cheese supply house. They support a lot of manufacturers through their work. And so it's really interesting to hear Emily's story. We were able to score an interview with Cheese Trucker, or is it Milk Trucker? I can't remember. Mm-hmm. I think it's Milk Trucker. Yeah. Trevor. So, and talk to him about all the like really incredible research he's doing in Europe. So it was really fun to, you know, catch up with him and hear his story. We interviewed Jamie Pung from the American Cheese Society about how she sort of became the industry liaison, you know, to ACS. She's got a really interesting career track. So some really good stories in there. And then also in the student union, you'll find stuff like gear guides. We wrote a review of the handy cutter, everybody's favorite piece of cheese cutting equipment. Am I right? And just some others, you know, pairing stuff and, you know, some cheese deep dives. We did like a Rush Creek deep dive, including like, you know, how to merchandise this on your cheese counter. How does Andy Hatch want you to care for Rush Creek once it's in your retail case? Stuff like that. So everything is really, again, like through, you know, through a monger lens, through a professional lens, because that's really who Cheese State is for. So that's just some of the good stuff you'll find on there.
And it does mean there's a reason to keep checking back in. So yeah, it's really is like, yeah. So like even once you air quotes graduate,
yeah,
there's still reasons to come back as an alumni or as a continuing education student when you start offering more courses.
Yes.
So I want to just talk a little bit about the application.
Yeah.
So people should not be terrified of this application, right?
No.
As you said, and it says on the homepage, Cheese State University, you know, if you buy, sell, or handle cheese in your work, apply. So can you tell us about the application and what does it help you get? Like what information does it help you collect to improve the site?
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't even really think of it as an application. I call it the enrollment form.
Just
the enrollment form. You know, right. You just let us know you're interested in enrolling and then we'll probably let you in. So this is just really meant to keep out civilians, you know, for lack of a better term. but we know there's a lot of people out there who are really enthusiastic about cheese, but who don't work with it. And, you know, we at Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, we host a community called Cheeselandia. And I'm sure that Cheeselandians would love to see the content that we have in Cheese State University, but you know, simply this content is not for them. This is really professionals only. So we wanted to just ensure that the people who are registering for access to the content are professionals. So like really, honestly, I approve everybody by hand myself at this point. And I'm just looking at, you know, your email address, your employer's name. You know, we do. Some employers, some retailers are signing up like cohorts of their staff. So they will request an enrollment code from us. It's not required to enroll, but if your employer has given you one, it allows us to just do a little bit more tracking and reporting back to them. Like, oh, you signed up 35 people, 30 of them have obtained their Cheese State Scholar Certificate, which is what you earn if you take the test associated with the field guide. So we can help kind of track people that way, you know, people who are going through in a cohort sequence. So that's some of the stuff that we use. You know, we do ask some information that, you know, we ask like, what's your favorite cheese? And what do you like working in cheese the most? And stuff like that. And that just kind of helps us get to know people a little bit better. And I think it leaves some opportunity for us to assist with networking and sort of like making connections and help sort of, you know, guide people together who could, you know, benefit from a mentor relationship. And that's stuff that's, I think, you know, coming in a second or third wave of programming where we would be a little bit more active in the app, doing things like that for folks.
Wow. So I'm sure it took quite a team to pull this together. You have some really great illustrations. The layout is a whole job into itself. And there's some like animated parts, like little video things. And do you want to say anything about like that team? Like who put this together? Like how did this visual like living thing, like who do you want to give a shout out to?
People are always like, oh my God, Molly, you made the most amazing thing. And I'm like, I didn't make it. I mean, I did, but I didn't, you know?
Right.
So I would say, you know, from the very, you know, first days of this, like, as I mentioned, Pat Polosky was a huge contributor to the field guide, to sort of the structure of the field guide. We also worked closely with Jane Bauer, who helped build the CCP program for ACS. We worked with Caitlin O'Neill. So some names you guys should definitely recognize from the industry. It really helped us put together the structure of the resource and sort of like the outline that we were going to follow. And then some of those folks provided technical drafts of copy for the chapters. I wrote a lot of the technical copy or the, you know, draft copy, I guess I would call it, as well. And then we had, and it was just, we're so lucky to work with, you know, an incredible writer, to work with Alexandra Jones, who is just brilliant in everything she does. And she like did copywriting plus for this project, I would say. I would call her more like the content manager because she just helped really keep everything orderly and keep track of, really, you know, small details and just kind of made sure that everything stayed organized. And the copy is, you know, beautiful and intelligent. And we have her to credit for that.
Wonderful.
And then we worked for design. We worked with an incredible graphic design team based in Portland, Oregon called Co-Projects. They did an amazing job. We've got a great web team based here in Milwaukee that sort of brought everything to life on the internet. So that's just a small smattering of the people who helped with us. Because it's been a team effort for sure.
Well, it's very impressive. And people can enroll at cheesestateuniversity.com. Right. And I guess if you know, they could Google it, but cheesestateuniversity.com. It's
so easy.
It's so easy. I hope everybody enrolls and that we see more from this site, in the years to come. It's really great. It's a lot of fun. And it sounds like you've had a lot of fun putting it together. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's been great. It's, somebody told me, they said like this, I can tell that this is a love letter to the industry. And that like kind of made me cry a little bit. I was like, it is, I love the industry so much and I love cheese so much. And, it feels like a gift to be able to give this gift to the, to people. Cause I know that, from my own experiences, I know how much, how valuable, you know, consolidated, mm-hmm. incredible training resources are. So I do hope that people find this usable and engage with it and let us know how it's working for them. We're very open to feedback. And as we build out future levels, there's definitely more to come. So, you know, as we build out future levels, you know, we really want to hear from people what they need, how it's working for them, and all that stuff. So I just say, right. you know, it's open dialogue. And really, we welcome feedback. I'm very easy to find. The cheese world, you guys, I'm sure half of you already have my phone number, so just send me a text. Let me know what you think.
And there's always the contact us button at the bottom, which you just said you're reading everything that comes in. But and I have to give a shout out to whoever it was who figured out that the word monger, you could say you're a monger, is actually you're among scholars, ruminators, cheese lovers, grazers, experts, masters. I'm reading this as it's coming up on the screen. I mean, it's you're a monger. I just think that is, you're right, it is like a love letter.
That was like peak, a peak moment in the project. For pretty, sure.
Pretty incredible. Pretty incredible. So thank you so much for coming on Cutting the Curd to talk about this project, and really looking forward to having you back again when you have another project. I feel like, you know, between Victory Cheese and this, like you're on fire. You just keep coming up with great ideas.
So, well, thanks so much for having me, and thanks for using Cheese State University. I'll see you on campus.
Yes, yes. And everyone, thank you so much for listening. I just want to give one note that the American Cheese Society Conference, which is coming up in just a few months this summer, the scholarships to attend are now available. The applications for those scholarships are open until April 3rd. So please apply. Check out ACS, the cheesesociety.org/scholarships page. There's a lot of really great opportunities on there, and open to y'all to attend. If you're going for the CCP exam, definitely check it out. And we'll see you back here on Cutting the Curd and wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Cutting the Curd is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.